Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me. She D T F.
She tell me she
D T F.
I heard she
D T F.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well,
welcome to DTF. This is the Daryl Timmery Fun Hour. It is, in fact, the greatest sex education, comedy, sometimes game show, currently podcast in the known universe. I am your resident sexuality educator, Dr. Timmery.
And I'm Daryl Charles.
And what's your job? What do you do?
A comedian.
Oh, great.
I'm the other host. I have a working knowledge of sex.
Then that works out great. This is a good combination.
It's a decent combination.
What a good formula for a show.
I'm not entirely an idiot, and I've had sex before. I've also read about it.
Ooh.
I've even put together some PowerPoint presentations.
Facts.
Describing the many facets of sex and gender.
You've probably put together more PowerPoints on sexuality than a lot of people I went to graduate school with.
Yeah, you know.
Like, at this point, you really are just like a dissertation away from having the same fucking degree.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what intellectuals do. They take classes. I just got an independent study with Dr. Timmery.
You saved so much money that way.
I really did. Because I still have yet to pay back the other degrees. So.
So it balances
yikes.
Out.
Yikes.
Yeah. It's all good. You're gonna get several for the price of whatever you end up paying off. Great. Wonderful. So we are a very long-running sex podcast. I tried to do the math the other day. Did we start in 2013? Because I think that's right, in which case we are coming up on 9 years.
I think so.
Dang.
I think so. It's tough because, the past 2 years kind of didn't happen, even though they happened. So, my math is off when I have to calculate things.
But also took it to weekly as well.
That's the other thing, this
escalated.
Was monthly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we escalated. We pivoted to a more hectic schedule, which is whatever. I have fun with this.
Yeah, we're having a good time.
And I hope you do, listener. Thank you for listening. You know, please like and subscribe. Share it. Tell people about us. Thank you to the person on Twitter who tagged us in their list of favorite podcasts. Thank you for the friend of mine who texted me about episodes. These are good things to do. You should also tell other people.
Yeah.
Not just me, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Yeah. So with that, shall we get into our first regular segment?
Yeah, you mean the fucking news.
I do. I do mean the fucking news. That's great.
Let's fucking go.
All right. So this first story is going to be fun because we're talking about my ex. basically, is how this works. This is a story about the Munich report from the Catholic Church. This is a report that came out that talks about like a whole bunch of stuff, but it does include basically the way that there were like 37,000 acts of like sexual abuse by a priest over the course of like 68 years, and
children.
It took me a minute to realize you did not mean TWO children. I was like, no.
Oh my god.
I was like, those children.
It's a whole different nightmare.
Yeah, that's bad. It's all bad. There's no. Yeah. That's not good.
There's no good way to abuse children. But
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and then perhaps more importantly, like it happened, but then a bunch of bishops who oversaw the diocese, including one who used to be the Pope, he's like the Pope Emeritus now, oversaw that and knew about that and didn't do anything to the clergy or the lay people who committed the sexual abuse, and then continued to, just like move those priests around, and they continued to abuse. And then, of course, like notably Ratzinger, like from Germany, hence this Munich report, ended up going from being a cardinal to being the dang Pope for a while. So
yeah, it's almost as if there was a very small sect of Americans concerned about a child pederasty ring, and they completely miss the one that has been publicized and reports have been written about it to go after fake boogeymen. But, you know, somebody run into a church and look for the basement there. You'd probably help more children. That is a terrible thing to say. People died. Wait, but I'm right. No one died. That guy went into the pizza place.
No one died at the Pizza Comet, no.
No one died at the pizza place. Good,
but,
yeah.
But that movement we are referring to has killed people, though, and not people, that particular instant, yeah.
Right, people have died from their machinations. But, you know, it's what's crazy is that, like, the actual pedophiles, you know, whatever, they tight with Jesus, so we're supposed to just let it go.
Wow, we're going to Disney territory.
I've never seen that movie. My niece has sung me the song a number of times.
Oh, that's nice.
It's incredibly cute.
Yeah. So to go back to this story, basically, there's this bifurcation happening in the Catholic Church, and I am speaking to you as a person who, like I said, is my ex. I was raised Catholic. I was legitimately an adherent of it. If you want to hear my bona fides on how Catholic I was, I not only went to a Catholic school K-12, I was an actual altar girl, and from K-6 I went to Catholic Mass every single morning because my parents had to drop me off before they went to work, and so my school was next to the church, and the only thing for me to do was go to Mass with a bunch of old people every single morning at 8 a.m., in addition to going on the weekend with my family and going to all school Mass because, again, went to a Catholic school. So if you want to talk to anybody about, like, just hating on Catholicism, let me tell you, I put in my time.
I went to Catholic school until the second grade, and then I got plucked and put in the public schools.
And, but, You still got to have opinions on it.
Yeah, I got a communion. Know? Yeah, I did a communion. I had to sit in a room with a priest who asked me to confess to him, and I was 7. And it's
that is so strange when I think about
it.
I
still remember that as being incredibly awkward. Like, he's like, so, you know, you're going to get your communion, and, you know, it's important that you do that. So, you know, do you have anything to confess? I was like, I don't listen to my mom. Like,
bad kid. Dang.
Right. Like, I don't. What? Huh? I don't go to sleep immediately when she says go to bed. Is that a sin? Do a couple Hail Marys. All right, cool. I am upset that I forgot the Hail Mary. And we used to do that a lot.
I can reteach it to you at another time that is not a sex podcast.
We have to go in the deconsecrated church, the one on Chestnut. That's where you learn.
Okay.
That's where you learn the Hail Mary again.
Yeah, or I mean, just come on over and we'll get drunk and we'll do Hail Marys later. but yeah, so to go back to the story though. So there have been all of these things that have come to light, and a lot of people actually did, you know, exodus the church as a result. But there are a fair number of Catholics, and specifically German Catholics, because we're looking at an article from the Religion News that's focused on German Catholics. There are a percentage of folks who are not only staying tight with the church, but they are now going to say that all of this information coming out about the systematic failure to respond to sexual abuse is really just an attempt to get gays into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And one person quoted in this article says, "We have a homosexual scandal here, not a pedophilia scandal."
Mm-hmm.
Clericalism may have something to do with why some bishops were enabled, but it has nothing to do with why a man would put a hands on a minor, which is like a fundamental misunderstanding of what child sexual abuse is.
Yeah, at this point, it's not a misunderstanding. It is an obvious obfuscation of the points, yeah. Right? Like, especially if you are commenting on a report about your years of aiding and abetting the crime. There's no way, like, that's the funniest part of it. Like, it's this synodal report was,
Synodal Path.
Yeah, the Synodal Path report. That report, that's a Catholic thing. It was just them. It's not like they didn't call fucking Nancy Drew in. They didn't ask, like, you know, fucking librarians to swoop down and help them. They didn't call they get a bunch of Muslims to come in because they can be impartial. No, they didn't do anything like that. They came up with the program. They came up with the report, and they said, we've been abusing people for years. And then when they asked about it, it's like, it's the gays. It's like, wow, yo.
Yeah. And it's also, this is like a global problem. So there's this focus on the German Catholic Church here in one way, but like in Germany as a country, pretty open to diverse sexual orientations. That's not really a German issue, but because the Catholic Church is dying in a lot of Western culture, the only places where it's really growing are like Eastern Europe, Africa, Middle East, where positions on homosexuality and on, you know, this way never going to happen idea of having women priests or any of those kind of things, they have even fervor, like anti-old school stances. So if the church is going to survive, they're kind of looking to pivot to these really, really conservative areas rather than looking at, you know, what do people in like Western Europe believe on these things.
Right.
So,
which is funny because they're saying, you know, like, oh, the Catholic Church won't die. They'll just be a small sect. Like, it might shrink to be those things. And like, I'm all for bifurcation. Like, honestly, I would love to see some Catholic bishops and a couple dioceses show up and say, hey, we ain't cool with that kid shit, so we doing this thing over here. Like, that would be fantastic. And then you could say, hey, there are good priests. But until then, the opposite is true. There are no good ones because there's a systematic problem, or at least there has been. I don't know what the end by date was on the report.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of like an ongoing conversation. A lot of the stuff is happening in February, like with this Synodal Path. Like, there are some assembly conversations about like maybe the church should reevaluate its position on homosexuality, because like right now as it stands, if you are a gay, you can come to church, but like you can't, you know, get communion, and like you were definitely not going to be a priest, and like you're definitely not going to be able to get married there or any of those sort of things. And the stance, you know, they continue to be against female ordination, and they continue to require priestly celibacy. But an interesting side note on that is that priests and nuns take different vows of celibacy versus chastity. So to clarify on that piece, nuns take a vow of chastity, which means they can't have sex. Mm-hmm. And priests take a vow of celibacy, which says they can't get married.
But
because you can't have sex outside of marriage, it like sort of theoretically like precludes that. But
they can always say I'm sorry when they're finished. They didn't break a rule.
They committed
a sin that they can atone for. Good thing they got the hotline straight to the dude.
True.
But yeah, the nuns are breaking the vow that they gave to God. So
yeah, they take literally different vows, which is just an interesting random thing. So I am very curious about the future of this church. And every time I go and look, it's basically like the way I compare it is like checking out your ex's like Instagram and being like, damn, I dodged a bullet, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of people get a lot out of it. People get out a lot out of any major organization that provides them like structure and something bigger than them to believe in, and like ritual and history connecting to, you know, much bigger than you, etc. But it's just like, I do not like this whole vibe where it's like, just like acknowledge what you have done wrong. It's like the same problem the US has. Until we really rectify the situation that we have already gotten ourselves into, moving forward is just going to always be like super extra clunky and bad. Like,
yeah,
I feel like
it's like, yeah, you have to, yeah, there's no way to atone for your previous actions if you can never admit them.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, it makes sense. You don't, all you have to do is know what the needed to understand that point. Like, if you never admit to wrongdoing, you'll never fix it. And to, I mean, it's just hilarious to be like, the problem with all of these children being abused is that there are secret gay people here.
Yeah.
It's and so let's root them out.
It's so frustrating because, like, the folks that I know who are still Catholic, who are, like, you know, I guess I would say, like, politically progressive, they're, like, mm-hmm. interested in social justice. They, like, they aren't super concerned about abortion and gay rights. I mean, what I mean is that they want, like, gay rights. They are not mm-hmm. anti that. Like, they don't want this thing to be what holds back their value system. They're like system yeah. of community and all that. And it's right. just like
yeah, people are fallible, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. People are fallible and systems are fallible, but not Jesus, not God, right? That's the whole thing. So, you know, when you believe in the thing that's bigger than you, it's God. And the idea that, you know, the whole world was created in 7 days and, you know, he'll come again, so you better not pout. I'm telling you why, you know, yeah. that stuff. And just like you said before, whatever it takes for you to get up in the morning and then pay your taxes, I'm for. Okay. I'm for it. Whatever it is, if it is spite that is getting you up,
highly motivated by spite.
And out the house and contributing to the economy that fixes the potholes in my city. I love the spite. Get it. Obey your thirst. But, you know, that's not the point. It's not. This isn't like some big atheist rant. This is like, this is a system that has billions of dollars and a lot of land and a lot of power in the many countries that they're in. And they've been doing some big wrongs, and they still have a lot of protections that are afforded by my dollars. Mm. And that I don't like.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is also a really good point. Like, I just really need religion to stay out of my politics or pay fucking taxes. Yeah.
Yeah. Very much so. Do you know, like, in God We Trust and and it's like putting God in the national, not the, the Pledge of Allegiance, I think. It's like,
that's all from the 50s. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, very new thing.
They're just being anti-communist with that. They were just trying to set themselves apart from the godless communists. That's all that was.
Yeah. That's the other part of communism that, is a good selling point for some, but is often not talked about, is that the first thing you kill is God. But whatever, you care about each other. And again, you know, you don't have to believe in God to pay your taxes. I honestly don't care. Just do it.
I mean, so far it's been working for a lot of people to believe in shit.
And religion is one of those things where, like, the reason you're, whatever denomination you have, it's the same thing with, like, political affiliation for the most of us. It's just whatever your parents did. And it imprinted on you at a young age, so that's who you side with. And that's fine. A lot of people aren't even that good at being the Catholics, right? Like, they don't go all the time. They don't sit and do, you know, the rosary before they go to bed or whatever the rules are. I don't know.
yeah, you only went through second grade. Like, so yeah, I only. It's fine. I don't know. Like, all I remember is there was.
I never got to drink the juice. I drank the juice.
You get the snack.
Yeah, I had the bread. I ended up getting the juice when I started going to a Pentecostal church when I was older, but I never got baptized as such. I was just going to. I was going to Sunday school and stuff, and they were just like, man, go ahead and drink the juice, Daryl. It's fine. So, shout out to the Pentecosts. We got crunk in that basement. They had a little pool table. It was fun.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Then we watched videos about how there's proof of the Ark. And, all those videos have been very widely debunked. But it's nice to know that, you know, for a time, I was drinking the juice, baby.
Yeah, it was not Kool-Aid. We know for a fact that it was Flavor-Aid.
It was Flavor-Aid.
It was not Kool-Aid.
Vent took out Jonestown. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, leave mm-hmm. the Kool-Aid man alone.
Yeah. Speaking of wildly misunderstanding how things work, shall we move to our next regular segment?
I think we should.
All right, so our next regular segment is Fucking Idiot, Fucking Brilliant. And we're going to start with something that is fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. And it is under-discussed for how fucking big of a deal this is. Our very own editor and producer, Flirt Vonnegut, gave me a very clickbaity way to describe what we're about to discuss. And he said, it is the bill that is going to destroy the internet that you've never heard of.
Mm.
It is... is a pretty apt description. So what we are going to discuss is the Earn It Act. That is an acronym for a bunch of garbage that has to do with like eradicating child sexual abuse materials online. The Earn It Act, for background, was first introduced in 2020, and it is co-sponsored by Lindsey Graham
Lady G.
And then Mike Blumenthal, who's a Democrat. It's got this really weird mixture of supporters, like Dianne Feinstein's on there. There's just like a bunch of randoms. Hmm. And it was first brought up in 2020, and it was like effectively killed because it was just so clearly a bad idea, because it's one of those examples of the thing where it's like, this is to protect kids, and everybody who actually understands how the internet works, who actually understands how child sexual abuse materials are shared online, people who understand how the Communications Decency Act works, all the people who actually understand how those things work were like, this bill is stupid. Mm. And like, tech companies came right out and they're like, this is dumb, it's not going to do the things you're saying it's going to do, and here's all the way that it's going to hurt the internet. And so a variety of companies, Mozilla, Signal, just a bunch of like tech like reporters came out and were like, this is stupid, don't do this. And so it was effectively killed, and we thought it was dead in 2020.
Money never sleeps.
Mm.
Evil never dies.
Yeah.
It just teaches its children to be even more evil.
Yeah. And apparently stupidity just changes form and just, you know, keeps zombieing on. So
yeah.
It came back, and on February 10th, it was moved through the Judiciary Committee. And it's changed from its original form, but it is still stupid. And the next thing that it's going to do, as of our recording now, is go to the Senate floor. And it has a really good likelihood of passing, because just what? Like FOSTA SESTA, which we discuss all the time on the show, when the name of it is like, you hate children being abused, of course you want to pass this bill because it's going to fight child abuse. But the reality is the bill does not do that. In fact, it will make the situation worse. It is akin to FOSTA SESTA. FOSTA SESTA was about combating human trafficking. What it actually did was censor the internet a whole bunch. It made it more dangerous to be a sex worker. It's the reason that our social media is worse and worse and worse. And the thing is, it's got like a body count, like a real life repercussions of FOSTA SESTA. And Earn It is going to actually be worse. So,
so what does it do?
That's a great question. So, like, yeah, its purported goal is to be about child sexual abuse materials online. So I am using that term as opposed to child porn, because child porn implies that like
that there's some kind of entertainment value, and it's we've talked about this on DCF a ton. And listen, if there's one thing you should take away from this conversation, or there's plenty of things, but if there's one thing, it's that we need to stop doing that. It's not kiddie, but like they used to call it kiddie porn, like it's not cute. Stop cutinizing it is video evidence of child sexual abuse. Like it's evidence of a crime. It's the same thing as watching a video of someone be murdered, right? Like not the same, but like it's evidence of a crime, and it is terrible, and it will ruin your day if you ever stumble upon it. Yikes.
Yeah. So it is already very illegal to post images of child sexual abuse online. Yeah, totally illegal. Big surprise. And tech companies are already reporting it when they find it. In fact, they do it a lot. And there's been a number of reports about Facebook actually being one of the biggest places where evidence of child sexual abuse is shared and uploaded. And they turn it over because, like, they don't fucking want it either.
I read an article years ago, so maybe they changed it. Probably not. They contract out that work. So the people whose job it is to review things that are flagged for being that, they don't even get benefits. It's just that's long hours of heartbreaking work. And, I mean, they get paid, but they are not technically Facebook employees. And so a lot of them, in this article, a lot of them complained of, like, you know, getting in real dark places mentally. From doing the work, and like they have to like step down, and it's tough because, you know, nobody wants to do that stuff, but it's a way into a multi-billion dollar company.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, the algorithms can catch a lot of it, because another thing we've discussed on the show is, like, just so that you have an understanding of child abuse sexual materials online, there is not, like, a ton of it being made in the same way that, like, there's a ton of adult sexual content being generated all the time. Like, there's just constant flow of, like, material being made by adults who are, you know, selling their content. Child sexual abuse materials, there's a smaller number, thankfully, but they just keep getting reshared. Right. And algorithms are getting better and better at picking it up. Anyway, so that's already happening, right? And then
isn't Ashton Kutcher, like, had a company or something where they're the ones that I could be totally wrong with this, but they keep a database of the video evidence, and that's what they cross-reference it, like they do hashes and stuff to, like,
he's got like an anti-trafficking like campaign that doesn't listen to sex workers, so he's like whatever to me, but like I appreciate the thought. But anyway, so the companies are already reporting it, and according to a fair number of reports, they send this information to authorities who, like, may or may not even follow the leads. Like, a lot of the leads are not even pursued by authorities anyway. So what we're talking about is ultimately the Communications Decency Act. And there's a section in it, 230. And basically what it says is that websites are not legally responsible for the stuff that people post on it, because they're just hosting it. And why that is good is it gives them, like, the ability to moderate content, but they are not legally liable if someone posts something that is bad, which makes them less likely to just, like, censor everybody all the time. And so that is a good thing for the internet, to allow for free speech, but moderation, right? So you can take out misinformation, you can, like, take down abusive stuff, but, like, it gives you an incentive to look for that content because you won't be held liable for it. One of the things that happened under Trump is that he wanted to get rid of Section 230 because he did not like it when Twitter would censor him and say that, like, you can't just, like, post nonsense up here that's not true. Yeah.
Or when people kept putting up unflattering pictures of him.
Yeah. And he
Shout
wanted
out to James
to be, he wanted to be given this platform for misinformation. Right. And because they wouldn't let it, he wanted to, like, go after Section 230 to hold, like, as basically his means of forcing all these websites to just, I don't know, basically do whatever he wanted. And it, like, in this original iteration of the EARNED bill, one of the big things that it does is it, like, creates this committee where, at the time, the Attorney General was Barr, who's not a great dude, and it would have, like, given him a ton of power over, like, looking at all of what is posted online. So here's what happens now, right? Right now, internet companies can moderate however they want to a degree, right? Like, FOSTA SESTA has already sort of censored a lot of things, but they can still sort of decide how they want to moderate stuff. And they can try different tactics to, like, find illegal content, to find, like, child sexual abuse materials. If they try this one tactic and it's more effective, then they can try something else. But if something gets through and they end up accidentally hosting this awful content, they're not legally liable for the fact that it was there.
Right.
However, if the EARNED Act passes, they will be held liable for it. And here will be the repercussions of it. The first thing will be they are no longer motivated to go find it, because then they, like, are hosting it, right? So now they have no motivation. Yeah, they have no motivation to go pick it out for you and send it to the authorities like they have been historically. Like, they find the abuse materials now, they send it to the authorities. If they're in trouble for hosting it, not motivated to look for it anymore. That's the first thing that'll happen. The second thing that will happen is that they will just censor anything that smells of sexuality whatsoever, because they do not want to have to spend their time sorting through that. And they do not care about sex workers, and they do not care about your mastectomy scars, and they do not care about your breastfeeding videos, and they do not care about sexuality education, and they don't give a shit about LGBTQ youth, and they do not give a fuck about any conversations around like diverse sexualities. What they will do is just censor all of it so that they are not in trouble, because that's what they're already doing with FOSTA SESTA. So it's just going to be even more so.
And the Stepford other thing, book is what it will be.
Yeah. And then the other thing, ironically, is that because the way that it will work will also require a backdoor to be put in for the government to go into things.
Hey, now.
Will mean that websites will be disincentivized from using end-to-end encryption.
Right.
And this is why, like, Signal is super opposed to it. So Signal, originally, when the bill first came up, they're like, if this passes, we're leaving the U.S. We're just not even going to operate in there. Because, like, they will be held responsible for things in this end-to-end encrypted format. And what this will require is basically, like, you have to give government agents a backdoor into everything, which means random ass people that work for the government will have access to your messages, to all of your social media stuff. Like, we are talking about, the government is not a god. The government is made up of people, and like random government agents will be able to read all of your private messages.
Right. And that's the thing. It's not that they don't currently do that. The thing is that they're not supposed to. So when they are reading all my stuff, I can walk around under the impression that if they try to bring it up, like, you weren't supposed to look at that anyway. It's not going to hold up in court. But
that's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, currently they have to have some sort of like warrant to do so. But under the Earn It Act, they would not need that. They would just be able to have these like back doors that are built in. And ironically, what that will mean is that they will find child sexual abuse materials online. They will use it to arrest people, undoubtedly, because, like, we want to do that.
Right.
But then those criminals will be able to make a completely cogent argument that their Fourth Amendment rights were violated, and the only evidence against them will not be admissible in court. So it will actually be harder to arrest those people who are trafficking in this content. So this bill not only has all these terrible impacts for you and me, but it also makes it harder to prosecute people who are posting this material online. That's why the Earn It Act is the most garbage, trash, stupid thing that I can even think of. And I hate Lindsey Graham.
Sure. And, you know, don't worry. I'm sure if you give them enough time, they'll come up with something worse. So have faith. You gotta have faith. Faith.
yeah, so
kind of blows.
It's bad, but I mean, the thing is, it hasn't passed yet, right? Like, so it can be stopped. So the big takeaway is that, like, everybody that I've mentioned the Earn It Act to, I'll be like, Earn It Act, unless they already work in the field of like adult content or like free speech advocacy, or unless they're like online privacy experts, or they are LGBT like health educators, like those kind of people who are actively working against it. Unless you happen to be in those fields, you probably haven't even heard of this,
right?
And you need and you need to know about it so that you can tell your representatives that it is bad. You need to tell your senator that you're opposed to it. You need to support the online petitions that are against it. To raise like further awareness that this is bad, to talk to your friends about how it's bad, support the, I can't believe I'm saying this, but like support the companies that are fighting it, like, you know, Signal boost their work, like, and make it clear that you will support the companies who fight this.
That's another thing to do, you know.
It makes me love Mozilla, because Mozilla is Mozilla's taking it on real hard.
I'm a Firefox guy all day.
Yeah.
Since the early days. The hell, I was a Netscape guy before a Firefox guy. Mozilla is cool. I don't use their VPN, though. You can't put all your eggs in one basket. You know what I mean? Mozilla, the electronic Freedom Fund, the EFF, right? EFF, just look them up. I don't know what the two F's stand for, but they are also big free speech on the internet folks. You know, those are good people to link up with and see what they do. Man.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's going to be bad. And the other thing is, like, this is basically just kind of in line with, like, the tactics that the far right are using in general, because, you know, we can already see how there's all this, like, book banning happening, and it's under the guise of, like, protecting children. That is always going to be the argument. And the reality is that it's about censorship. And then similarly, basically this will, like, deputize any random to act as a vigilante, because, like, in the same way that, like, the Texas abortion law works, like, any fucking rando can sue if an abortion happens, even though it has nothing to do with them. Meanwhile, with this case, literally anyone could report child sexual abuse materials on a website that is, like, you know, LGBT health information.
Yeah.
And it will be too expensive for these smaller sites to necessarily fight every single legal battle that comes at them, and they might end up being shuttered as a result. So
yeah,
this is a really important point to notice, that this is just another tactic of, like, censorship. This is not just a dumb misunderstanding of how the Communications Decency Act works, which is true. And it's not just because they don't know how the internet works, which is also true. But it's also because this is another way to censor people.
Yeah. I'm always wary of censorship. I don't like it. And I try to stay away from it. And I try to fight against it. So this is right up my alley as a thing that I would be like, boo, to.
Yeah. So everybody look up the Earn It Act. Read up on your own. You don't have to believe me about it. And then when you read that stuff, go share it with people and let them know, and go talk to your representatives, and maybe something can be done before it's too late.
It's pretty easy to talk to your representatives too. Just send them an email. Somebody has to read it.
Or better, if you can call them. I know it's very scary to call them, but that has a way bigger impact than emails.
Yeah, because you're actually taking up someone's time. It's not like, I read it, but you just opened it and hit archive. And speak slowly.
Yeah, okay. Tell me more about
when
that.
When you call them, make the call last a long time.
Okay.
Talk like you're Malcolm in the Middle's asthmatic friend. Like, I don't want the Earn It Act to pass. I'll be calling you twice a day until I find out that you have publicly let me start over. You do that a couple times.
That will be your activism. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's, you know, you don't even have to donate money to anything.
You just take that recording and play it. Play it for folks.
Yeah, that's solid. Yeah. Just like cue it up, hold it up to the phone. Yeah. That's solid.
That's all you gotta do, baby.
I like it. So on that note, should we take it to some good news?
Yeah.
All right, let's take it to fucking brilliance. All right, this is legit. This is like actual celebration. This is fantastic.
While it's good, it is the sort of, it's science good, which means that the tangible benefits of it, you'll be dead before it really happens, probably.
Wow. Okay.
Probably.
You are full of hope today. All right.
Hey, I'm just being, I have faith in the system. Okay. Trust the process, baby.
All right. Well, the good news is the third person that we know of has been cured of HIV. Mm-hmm. And it is a new approach that has the potential for curing more people, especially of racially diverse backgrounds, which is, I think, a really important like element of this. So they used umbilical cord blood for a person who was dealing with both cancer and HIV. Mm-hmm. And this is a much more available option than adult stem cells. And
it was, it's leukemia is the cancer.
Yes.
So just to clarify, this is one thing I've had to tell a number of people that I talk to regularly. When people say cancer is bad or whatever, cancer is like 137 different diseases. Like different things can get cancer. Cancer is just unchecked cell growth, right? Abnormal cell growth. And so this is about leukemia. Leukemia is cancer of the bone marrow. So the bone marrow is what your body uses to create new blood cells. It's in the middle of your bones. It's actually quite a delicacy. People just would boil the shit out of bones to get stock. But anyway, I'm not talking about people bones, obviously. Not yet, but so if you have HIV, when your blood cells are created, they get infected with the virus, right? And so if you have leukemia, the way to fix it is to give you brand new bone marrow that will sit in your bones, and then you produce blood cells that won't have leukemia, right? They won't do that. So when they do that with someone that has HIV and leukemia, they start producing blood that doesn't have HIV in it. So it's effectively a cure. Now, the thing about that cure is you have to be, it damn near kills you, because you want to talk about a hard reboot of the system. The things that make blood in your body get replaced. So yeah, it's very invasive and very dangerous.
Yeah, like, don't get leukemia if you can avoid
it. If you can help it.
Yeah, like, if somebody offers it to you, say no.
just say no to leukemia, okay?
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, yeah. I want you to talk about the science-y stuff here, actually. Of the people who are the donors are, like, white. We're not going to use the C word, which can go away forever.
Which is true. Like, most people who, and I've done some of this research, when people are talking about race and stuff, people are pretty united in the idea of stop using Caucasian. It's a throwback to an old system where there were only Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid were the only three types of races. And so that's a hold over from that. So just say white people. The thing is, with this development, with this woman of mixed race, of multiple races, whatever. Anyway, the fact that it happened to a woman and the fact that it happened to someone who isn't white is a big breakthrough in science, because lo and behold, science doesn't care about people who aren't white men. So they're usually not included in the studies and the trial stuff that happens. So when they do have proof that something works, they, you know, if you're being a strict scientist, you really just have proof that it works for white men or whoever is in your sample size or whatever. The fact that this person was able to get it done, it's Dr. Stephen Deeks, an AIDS expert at the University of California, San Francisco, says the fact that she's mixed race and that she's a woman, that is really important scientifically and really important in terms of the community impact. Yeah, because if it can happen to someone who is not white and it can happen to someone who's not a man, it might be a thing that can help the everybody. Yeah,
because like women have account for more than half of the people who have HIV in the world, but they're only 11% of the participants that are in the trials that are for cures.
And
that's a big deal.
Yeah. And the infection is thought to progress differently in women than men. So, yeah, like the same virus affects people differently, all kinds of people differently. It's just the wonderful diaspora of human life. This is the way we as a species beat diseases, right? By being varied and different. This is why malaria didn't wipe us off the fucking map. This is why the plague didn't wipe us off the fucking map, right? Because we keep making new people and recombining our DNA. And, you know, the pieces of DNA that beat fucking, you know, the common cold get recoded in a person, and then they just have a better resilience. So it is good news, but you have to have leukemia and HIV to be able to benefit from it today. And
So it's also not going to work for everybody. Like, bone marrow transplant is not for everyone. It's like invasive and it's risky. So it's like a last ditch.
It's like
for a lot of people,
it's like changing your soul out. Like it like the idea of it's bone marrow, man. Like, yikes. And yeah, I can only imagine that it didn't feel good.
Oh yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah, because like when you get a new organ in,
dental surgery hurts bad. Like,
right? Yeah, right. All surgery hurts, but like when you get a new organ and you have to be on all kinds of drugs that lower your immune system, so that your body doesn't reject the organ, even if you know, and they do all the other tests to make sure it's. They make sure it's a clean piece of meat. They make sure that the blood types match and all that stuff. And you still need a bunch of drugs that will make you susceptible to die from the sniffles to make it work. So, you know, it's tough. But
and the two other people that have been cured of HIV so far, similarly, it was the same situation. They were cured of HIV while being treated for like advanced leukemia. And it was not an easy go either. That's the thing, is like in both cases, because it replaced their immune system, they had like a really rough time. They had like graft versus host situation where like the donor cells attack the recipient's body. The first guy who was ever cured, the Berlin patient, Timothy Ray Brown, he nearly died after the transplant. And then he was cured of HIV. And then,
and that was the thing, when that happened, I actually remember when this happened. When it happened, it was like, well, science was like, hey, we just cured HIV. Like, they didn't they didn't know that that's what was going to happen. They were trying to do like, you know, super duper new shit to get rid of leukemia, and they're like, wait a minute, he also doesn't have HIV. Somebody write a paper.
Yeah. This calls for writing.
You know what? I think I'm going to make this a reason to go tour the country and speak to doctors in very posh hotels. But, you know, it's a good work if you can get it.
Yeah. So this is, this is not going to necessarily revolutionize HIV treatment today, but you know, honestly, the trajectory of HIV prevention and treatment in my own lifetime is amazing. It's astounding. So I am hopeful that this is just part of the larger scientific efforts, and we are already making HIV a very live withable condition rather than like a terminal diagnosis like it was when I was a kid. So this is just great news. This is great news.
Science.
We can prevent it through a number of ways. We now understand entirely how it is spread, so it's much easier to prevent when you know how it spread. And we can, you know, use pre-exposure prophylaxis like PrEP and other things like that. And then it's a much better world than it was in terms of HIV.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Good times. So, okay. Dr. Timmery, where can the people find you?
You can go to drtimmery.com. That's DrTimmere, where you can find links to the articles that we discussed here, a bunch of other ones, my writing about things, and my upcoming events. You can find them all in there. So that's drtimmere.com.
Yeah.
How about you? Where can they find about you, Daryl?
They can go to darrylcomedy.com, DARRYL. If you don't know how to spell comedy, I would rather you not go to my website. So, darrylcomedy.com is where you can find, clips from my album, Black Gentrifier. You can also get all the links to be able to purchase or stream it if you only want to give me 0.03 cents. for my life's work. You know, yeah. And my calendar's on there, and, you know, I got dates all over Maryland and Pennsylvania and Jersey and stuff coming.
Yeah. And I've got random burlesque shows and workshops and things like that. So,
there we go.
Yeah. Go to our sites and then come hang out with us.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. Thanks.
And thank you to our editor and producer, Flirt Vonnegut.
Thank you so much, Flirt.
And we will talk at you next week.
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.